Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Mouth. From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Kevin Smogler is setting out to resuscitate the literary canon. He says it's time to dust off The Great Gatsby, Fahrenheit 451, and Bartleby the Scrivener, and other works skimmed and discarded by high school students of yesteryear, and read them again with older, more experienced eyes. Kevin, now 39, spent 10 months rereading books assigned to so many now middle-aged Americans so long ago. He shares what he found in a new book, Practical Classics, 50 Reasons to Reread 50 Books You Haven't Touched Since High School. He's going to be reading at River Run Books in Portsmouth on May the 6th, and we welcome him to our program today. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Virginia. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Now, before coming up with an order, you must have had your own reading list for targets. How did you compile that?
Oh, well, the list for Practical Classics was originally compiled with the guidance of my high school teachers. I called them all and said, what did you assign to me back in the halcyon days of 1988 to 1989 when I was in high school? And then from there, I took some other books that had been written, like Clifton Fadiman's The Lifetime Reading Plan and Harold Bloom's How to Read and Why, and I saw what they considered classics that everybody should have read. And then I tried to make sure that there were books both from my parents' generation and current high school generations, because I didn't want this book to be some time capsule of the year I graduated, which was 1991.
Well, I'm wondering, why bother? I mean, there's so many great new books out there. Why go over already covered ground, Kevin?
Oh, because I asked myself exactly the same question when I started this book, and the small snow hill of books, of unread books in the corner of my bedroom will attest to how many great new books I had to put on hold while I was doing this particular project. But I really love and still love the idea of seeing a book we think we know everything about with fresh eyes. To me, it's a little bit like falling in love all over again. And it's just I have nothing against new books or undiscovered books, and I totally understand the excitement that goes with finding something completely new. To me, it's like having rereading an old book is like having a great date with an old friend.
Mm.
It's just it's like a 7-course meal instead of at your favorite restaurant, instead of the jolt you get from finding a brand new place.
I remember rereading To Kill a Mockingbird just a couple years ago and Catch 22, and realized how they blew my mind then and forever. And Catch 22 remains one of my favorite ever books. So I'm wondering about what it was like for you cracking that first book from so long ago. Are you in high school or are you 39? What happens to you?
Well, initially there's a flood of memory / dread. Which is because in some cases I actually had the copies of the book from back then, and what I immediately, in my chicken scrawl 15-year-old handwriting, what I immediately saw was acne and bad dates and lost tennis matches and Saturday nights, eating too much pizza, and so there was an initial flood of sort of uneasy nostalgia, and then there was a reawakening of sort of what I thought back then. And then it's almost as if the book comes rushing forward to meet you in the present, like someone you haven't seen a long time, rushing off the escalator to meet you at the airport. And then at the very end, you're 39 and you realize the book hasn't changed a single bit, but you have. And that's the surprise and the fun and the joy I had in doing.
Give me an example, something that you opened up and just saw completely anew.
So the most obvious example is The Catcher in the Rye, which I was convinced no one past the age of 18 needed to read. It struck me as a book with a built-in self-destruct button. And so when I picked it up, I'm like, am I just going to be convinced yet again that Holden Caulfield is some bratty teenager I once identified with when I was a bratty teenager, and now that I'm not, he has nothing for me anymore. And I realized that Holden Caulfield was not just a bratty teenager, but he was a grieving teenager. Holden Caulfield has a dead younger brother in this book that he mentions at the beginning and in key scenes throughout the novel. And I also did some research and discovered that J.D. Salinger was the generation before the teenage antihero, before James Dean and before rock and roll. And he was a World War II soldier who had lost dozens and dozens of friends on the beaches at Normandy. And so this book is very, I immediately, after knowing all of that and giving myself some time with Catcher in the Rye, I immediately saw it as a book about grieving and loss and not a book about just being 16 and lost.
We're talking, We're talking with Kevin Smokler. He spent 10 months rereading books assigned to so many now middle-aged Americans in high school. He shares what he read in a new book called Practical Classics. And Kevin, what is practical about these? You just mentioned that about loss and pain, seeing something differently. And this is how you categorize the book. You know, sort of these books are ways of dealing with certain parts or passages or times of life.
Absolutely. The book is divided into 10 sections, each, as you said, dealing with a passage of life, loss and pain, growing older, having children, getting a new job, falling in love, those kind of archetypal stages of life. And I really wanted to put the emphasis on the word practical because I stop short with books that say, here are 50 books or 50 movies or 50 albums or 50 works of theater you need to see before you die.
Right.
And what the implication from the author is, because I say so. Or because I've put my finger on them that they're great. I'm not a literature professor. I don't have that level of expertise. My interest was how can great books help us lead great lives, and how do they directly tie in to the everyday business of being a human being?
Were there any books that you were hesitant, you didn't really want to include, but somehow won you over?
Yes. Initially, I was very hesitant to go back to Philip Roth's Portnoy's Complaint. Because I had read that actually as a self-righteous 19-year-old, and was convinced, was swelling with pride as a Jewish person at the time, and was convinced that anything that even remotely made Jewish people look bad was to be dismissed and never paid attention to again. And coming back to that book, I realized what a sort of hilarious, sad, calm look at human comedy it is. Mm. Once I could get over myself, I was totally able to see what Philip Roth was doing in that book and really just laughed myself exhausted with it.
How about some of the books that many of us dreaded in high school just because they were so long? Any of those?
Thankfully, the nature of this project kept me away from books that were too long. I only had 10 months to do it, which means much as I would have wanted to chop down the mighty oak that was Middlemarch or Crime and Punishment or something like that, I simply couldn't because I only had 10 months to do it, and I am not a fast reader.
Well, looking back, do you think that high school is too young for many students to grasp the complexities, the themes in these texts?
Yeah, I hear that question every now and then, and it's my favorite question that people ask, which is, do we need kind of the false start of being teenagers to appreciate these books anew later in life? Mm-hmm. If we read The Age of Innocence for the first time at 60, do we miss something by not having the first lap with it at age 14? And I don't know the answer to that, but I kind of like that idea. There's something about it that I really like, that we need to sort of see them with a limited perspective first and then have the iris open up on those books later in life. And I think what is incumbent upon both student and educator is to not have that false start in high school mean that one never wants to come back to a great book again because their first go round with it was almost by nature limited and incomplete.
What kind of grades did you get in high school and middle school English, by the way?
Are you asking what kind of grades I actually got, or were they reflective of what I actually knew?
Well, actually, choose your answer.
I got very good grades, and they were not the least bit reflective of what I actually knew. I got good grades because I knew how to get good grades, but I think my understanding of what I came across in high school English was basically zero, which was the first and most craven reason for doing this book at all.
I'm wondering about reflections on the canon and how that has changed. Now we read about high school English teachers in order to really access their kids working with Grand Theft Auto or other kind of video games in order to understand literature or parts of life. What do you think of the changes in the canon over the years?
Well, I, I have no problem with the idea of a canon. I have a problem with the idea of a canon as being sort of a closed house with locked windows. That once we've determined what the canon is, nothing can be added or subtracted from it, and everything that falls outside it is not necessary or of less importance. I believe as William Brennan believed in a living constitution, that the canon is a living, breathing thing and changes with our times. And it was very important for me that this book simply not be relooking at the books of a bunch of dead white males, because I don't think that's reflective at all of where we are as a culture now or where we are as a literate society. But I love the idea of us being able to learn from all different forms of media and culture. I love all different forms of media and culture. I certainly didn't do this book as a way of saying books are better than all of those things. Those are just the ones that I saw as the great personal challenge and greatest reward for me. But I have all the faith in the world that we have incredible teachers in this country who can educate students with whatever tools they choose to bring to the classroom.
Kevin Smokler, author of the new book, Practical Classics, 50 Reasons to Read 50 Books You Haven't Touched Since High School. It's great to hear from you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. This was so much fun.
He's also CEO of BookTour.com, and he's going to be on Book Tour soon. We'll be seeing him at River Run Books on May the 6th. That's in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And you can find more on his book and that appearance at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, coming up, India's abundance of engineering students spills over into America's elite colleges. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.